And then in February of this year, as you mentioned, I got laid off. And I thought that I was untouchable. Like, I was one of the first 30 employees. I knew the CEO super well. I was growing a new line of business. I had launched two different $15 million lines of businesses for them. So I thought I was in a good place. But this now public company missed profitability, and I was working on a long-term project, not a near-term project, and I was remote.
Welcome to the Real Freedom Show, where we inspire you to pursue your passion to gain time and financial freedom through opportunities in real estate. I'm your host, Mike Swenson. Let's get some real freedom together. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Real Freedom, Real Estate Leverage Freedom, where we talk about different ways that you can build time and financial freedom through opportunities in real estate. I'm your host, Mike Swenson. If you want to get started on your real estate journey, check out our website, freedomthroughrealestate.com. We've got a lot of great content on there, all of our past episodes, articles for you to read, with the goal really to inspire you to choose a path in real estate, take some action, do something to get the ball moving forward so that you can build the life that you want to live. And as sometimes, you know, life happens and things change, and super excited to share today's story with you. It's going to be an awesome one. I think there's a lot of points where our listeners can resonate to things that have happened in their life, which is where Kyle is. And so Kyle Lutkehans has pursued opportunities in real estate, you know, had an opportunity where he was let go from his role and decided this is my time to jump in and be an entrepreneur. And fast forward, he's got a short-term rental. He is purchasing a business in Alaska and then working on a real estate opportunity in North Carolina. So kind of all these things happening at once. And so decided that, hey, going to take opportunity of this time in life to be able to pursue new things. And oh, by the way, all that with a newborn baby happening, you know, trying to figure out being a dad and figure out that at the same time and moving from Florida up to the Midwest. So Kyle, you've had your hands full these last few months that we've known each other, but welcome to the show. Excited to have you.
Thank you. I'm pumped to be here. Yeah, you kind of nailed it. I can't seem to do anything simply. It all has to be at once.
I remember seeing an article one time where they were talking about, like, you know, major life event stressors. And you think about moving, you think about job change, you think about adding new kids. And all that to be said, you just decided, let's just rip them all off at once, take care of it all at once, and build from the ground up. So yeah, share with us a little bit kind of about your backstory here, and we'll take it from there.
Yeah, I would add building IKEA furniture with your partner to that list. But yes, all of the tough
equally
ones.
Stressful as all the rest of the above.
But yeah, my journey's been an interesting one. So you know, if we take it way, way back, grew up in Chicago and all I cared about was soccer. Like that was, I was a single track mind. All I cared about that. Went to school in Vermont, played soccer there. And then I actually went abroad. I played for 3 years professionally in Finland and in Australia. And that was my whole goal in life. And I accomplished it. But along the way, two things happened. It was no longer fun. It became a job. And I realized I wasn't going to make a, you know, hit my financial goals through soccer. I'm, you know, I'm not David Beckham. I'm not Leo Messi. I'm good, but not that good. And so there was this shift that had to take place. And I met my wife and realized bouncing around Europe with her in perpetuity probably wasn't the best way to keep a long-term relationship. And so we came back to the States and I got a degree in marketing somehow while playing soccer, and leveraged that to get a tech job with a startup in Denver, Colorado, and loved it there. Grew with that company, became a director, and then realized that that's not really the lifestyle that resonated with me. I was able to provide financially, but in terms of passions, that wasn't it. We quit our jobs, full stop, in 2018. So that was 5 years. We traveled a bunch. We got married. We had a 3 month honeymoon in six different countries. We bought a van. We converted it. We traveled the States. We then lived in Key West for a year, where I was a kayak tour guide and a jet ski tour guide, and lived a very different life. COVID hit. That's not taking place anymore. Those types of jobs don't take place. So I shifted back up to Minnesota, actually La Crescent, lived there for a year. And got back into the tech space, and then actually ended up getting back to my original tech job in a more senior role with the, so exact same company. And I went on to help them grow even further and then actually become a public company. So I was lucky enough to go to the New York Stock Exchange last April when they rang the bell and got to see that happen. And then, I'm 4 or 5 years in, starting to feel that similar itch where I'm providing financially. This isn't fulfilling. What do I want to be when I grow up? It's not this. And so I started thinking about what do I want to do? What are the things that make sense for me? Who do I want to be for my family? How do I want to show up for them? What type of life do we want to live? And that led me to join Action Academy, the same, mastermind we're both in, mainly to surround myself with people who had already done the things I want to do and to help me get to where I wanted to be quicker. Because every time I tried to do something on my own, I got it through the tech route, but I certainly didn't get it in all my other side hustles I've done in the past. And so that was really helpful to be surrounded with this group. And then in February of this year, as you mentioned, I got laid off. And I thought that I was untouchable. Like I was one of the first 30 employees. I knew the CEO super well. I was growing a new line of business. I had launched two different $15 million lines of businesses for them. So I thought I was in a good place, but this now public company missed profitability and I was working on a long-term project, not a near-term project, and I was remote. And so the axe came down a little surprisingly, and I told everyone I was going to take some time and think about what I wanted to do before jumping into anything else. But in all reality, I took 6 hours. I went for a really long jog and run, and it was in silence most of the time. And I just thought, and it hit me that I'm in this group because I wanted to create a lifestyle for my family where I was able to be present, but I was also able to do things that got me excited, and I was able to provide for them financially. And so everywhere along the way, one of those or two of those was missing in whatever I was doing. And so if I were to create my own business or to buy a business and I was in charge of it, well, all of those could take place. And I had this group within this mastermind, this support system that enabled me to go for it. And I had taken out a few shares, a couple months prior. And so I was very lucky where I was in a place where I had runway. I had 8 to 12 months where if we didn't want to do anything, we didn't have to do anything financially. So it gave me a bit of freedom to pursue that next step. And so I hit the ground running. I talked to 70 people in 3 weeks to understand where to go. I did a lot of work, like vision work and figuring out what made sense and what path I should go. I love hospitality. I love traveling. I love new experiences. And more than anything else, I actually love sharing those experiences with others. And so when you think about boutique hotels or these unique stays, that really gets me exciting. And it's kind of having this moment right now where a lot of Airbnbs are becoming regulated. But if you can find a plot of land or a commercial, hotel, that's kind of a green field to play in right now. And so that's the area I want to pursue. But the cash flow wasn't necessarily there to enable me to provide for my family, at least not on one deal. It would have to be multiple deals. And so the other asset class that was able to provide the cash flow I was looking for and the timeline I was looking for was buying a business. And if I was able to find a business that provided experiences for others, well, that's actually in line with my long-term goal. And so through this group, I was able to find a business partner, Ashley Feidenkevitz. I can't say enough good things about her. She's an operational and process wizard. So our skills very much complement each other, where I'm more of the networker and the partnerships person and the sales and marketing side. She's everything on the back end and making sure that when I'm bringing in partnerships and when I'm bringing in people, we have the systems to be able to handle that and to be able to scale. If it was just me, it would be very chaotic and unorganized. But because of her, we're able to have a well-oiled machine. And so together, we were able to find a business in the tourism industry in Alaska, of all places, where she actually lives. And so we've been working on that for the last couple of months. Was just there for the last 5 days with my wife, my 6-month-old, and Ashley, putting together our plan, meeting with the sellers, and then we actually signed our purchase agreement last night, which I'm really excited about, and should be closing in a month or so. So this is a long, bumpy journey of figuring out where I wanted to be and what makes sense, and then diving really hard into the path that was going to get me there. And together, this business is actually going to provide the cash flow from a monthly perspective that enables me to cover my family's expenses. But then there's a lot of upside potential where we intend to really grow this business, and it could hit, all the financial metrics that I'm looking to achieve in the next few years with this alone. But I'm also involved in this other project, Boutique Hotel in North Carolina, which is a bit of a passion driver for me. So it together, they're kind of enabling me to achieve that vision, hit the financial goals I'm looking towards, but also to do things that excite me, and more than that, be surrounded by people that I love being around.
Well, even just hearing you talking about building the life that you want, hearing your backstory, going and playing soccer overseas after getting married, touring around the US, being a kayak and jet ski instructor, right? It's kind of that combo of wanting some adventure, wanting to do some new things, as well as finding that cash flow that's going to provide that stability. And then, upside potential. And so you can see telling your story of what's happened in the past align with kind of what you're looking to do right now. And so it's pretty cool to see that merge together. And then ultimately it comes with making that leap. And it's one of the reasons why on our logo, it's like there's like a little stick figure leaping towards a house, because it's kind of you have to make a leap, right? You have to leave what you're doing and go to what you're pursuing. And in some cases that leap, somebody's behind you giving you a little nudge, but it's cool to see what you've been able to build and put together here in just a few short months.
Yeah, and it's been, I won't say it's been easy, nor has it been straightforward, and it's probably been definitely scary at times, and there's definitely people in my life who are like, "What are you doing, man? Like this isn't the most straightforward or the least risky path." But I feel like I've been able to really mitigate the risk along the way by surrounding myself with mentors and others who really know what they're doing, who are helping me to short circuit this path, and then also avoid stepping in potholes that I probably would have stepped in otherwise. And then there's kind of a little phrase that I've used actually throughout my career, which has helped me be successful in even in my tech role. It was have a bias towards action and very tight feedback loops. And you're probably familiar with this concept before, but the person who analyzes every single detail and gets it to be 99.9% perfect before they take the leap, well, that might take them 5 years. That might take them 20 years to get to that point. The person who gets it 80% of the way just by having a hunch that this is the path they need to be on and starts right away, but gets feedback on how is it going, data on how's it going. And then makes quick changes and small iterative changes, actually gets way further ahead, way quicker than the person who tries to do it perfect out of the gate. And so that's kind of what I've been trying to go with here. And so if you look about from when I got laid off the end of February to when we're going to close in September, that's 6, 7 months. And like I could have never imagined that would have happened. At that point, it felt like this insurmountable obstacle that I had no clue how to overcome, but just started and got feedback and pushed and pushed and iterated. And, nothing's happened for sure yet, but it certainly looks like that's where we're at.
I often tell people I'm a recovering perfectionist because I am that high SC that wants to have every detail right. But living life, especially in real estate with enough high Ds, I know that that's always not the best move. And so I tell people I'm a recovering perfectionist because it helps remind myself that I can't be a perfectionist, right? I need to lean more into the action side than the analysis paralysis side. And so it's helpful to do that. I'm curious to hear. So, part of your story you shared was having those 70 conversations and really looking to figure out what you're going to do with your life, right? So talk about that process of those 70 conversations. Like, beforehand, it's like, okay, I know I need to figure out what I'm going to do. I'm just going to load up my schedule. But kind of what was the purpose or what was the outcome? Kind of what were you looking to have happen through those conversations? And then as they were happening, I'd love to kind of hear what was going through your head and how the chips were starting to settle a little bit more through that process.
So setting up these conversations, there were a couple different buckets of conversations I set up. Like I came out with a plan out of the gate. Like I understand I have this time frame and I need to figure something out in this time frame. And so that means cash flow needs to be managed well during that time, but then ultimately need to make a certain amount by a certain time. So what are the ways I can go after that? And had a couple ideas. And so there was the near-term conversations, like how do I be smart about my finances? Who's done a really good job of, creating more of a minimalist lifestyle? What are the things I could do there? How could I make some quick extra dollars? Like I set up a consulting service for what I knew in my previous life and got a couple things going. I fired up my an Airbnb, my house. We turned it into that. So conversations around that. And then I was really interested in investing in land flipping. That's an asset class that people can have great returns in a short amount of time. So it could be a pretty interesting way to build up near-term cash flow. So there's kind of like the near-term side of things. And then there was the midterm, which I realized was acquiring a business. So the conversations that took place in there were meeting with people who had businesses. And how they got started, like trying to learn how they formed it, what they looked to go after. And the other part was testing the waters on partnerships. And I'd say this was an area that's really helped me leap ahead way quicker other than I would have otherwise, is surrounding myself with people who complement my skill sets and ensuring that I'm not the only one going at it by myself. And why, if you think about the numbers, okay, maybe that means you're making a little bit less in terms of your ownership, in terms of the cash flow that translates to. But in reality, it probably means that if you find the right partner, you're going to have a much better foundation, which is going to enable you to grow much quicker. And then the amount that you potentially could make off that's actually going to be much greater in the long run. And so I knew having a partner was extremely important, not only because of some failed attempts in the past to go at it by myself, but also because the mentors I had were saying, get a partner. And so I decided to listen to them. And then the other bucket was the really long-term play, which was the hospitality side of things, where I'm still very excited about boutique hotels and unique stays. And creating phenomenal experiences for others and what that can do for building long-term wealth and equity. And it just sounds fun, honestly, being someone who's involved in some unique stays. And so it was having a lot of conversations with folks in that realm too. So I think 70 in 3 weeks is maybe on the lower side, believe it or not. I was probably working like 10 to 12 hours a day. Like more than I was in my W-2, and my wife definitely thought I was crazy. But at the end of those 3 weeks, I came out with a plan, a business partner, and a lot of great relationships in the hospitality realm. And so I realized the most important thing for me to do now was to acquire this business. So that's where the vast majority of my efforts went. And then the seeds I had planted for the hospitality side of things have started to bear fruit, and now we're involved in a fun project in North Carolina too, but still making sure I'm not spreading myself too thin and focusing on what matters in a sequential order.
I just view you as like you see in those movies or TV shows where it's like they're doing the forensic work and they've got like the big board up and they've got like all the pictures with like the little lines of yarn drawn, trying to figure out like who done it, that kind of thing. And I kind of view like that as you. It's like you've got your conversations and you're trying to map out what's going on and you've got the short term, the midterm, the long term, and here's Kyle up on the board trying to plan things out through talking with 70 people in 3 weeks. That's pretty awesome. Are you looking to get started or scale in real estate investing, but don't know your next step? Are you overwhelmed thinking about finding deals, analyzing deals, doing due diligence, and managing properties on top of it? Go ahead and push the easy button and invest with us. Real estate investing is what we do full time. We've done dozens of deals with hundreds of doors. We have the knowledge and experience to handpick the best deals that most investors can't find. We've got large off-market deals all the time where you can hopefully find returns and economies of scale that you just can't find on your own. The best thing is it's 100% passive to you for less capital than you put down trying to acquire a property on your own. Don't let this year go by where you don't make the leap, add to your portfolio, or you just sit in analysis by paralysis. To find out more, visit freedomthroughrealestate.com and click on invest. You can book a call and learn more there. So get to scaling your portfolio now with us by your side. So talk about that conversation now, where it led towards acquiring a business. Would love to kind of hear how that came to be. And obviously your business partner lives in Alaska, so she's got some of the background there and probably planted some of those seeds beforehand, but would love to hear how that came to be. Because one big thing that people listening to this podcast, you know, a big question is, yeah, the do I do it myself? I've always had the mantra, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And so I've loved working through teams and working with other people. And I think sometimes people have been burnt in the past, or they're concerned about getting burnt with a business partner. And so it's like, oh, I'd rather just not do it because then we don't have that messy breakup or whatever that might be. So I'd love to kind of hear that conversation of how that laid out for you guys as you pursued a business and then finding a partner.
Yes. So I got really good advice from, I want to say it was Cassidy Warren, who does a great job in the hospitality realm. He has his own podcast. I believe it's called For Your Own Good. And he's acquired several hospitality deals. And he got his start a couple years ago by creating partnerships and getting into deals and learning and then doing more and more and more. And now he's, you know, pretty darn close to an expert in the space. But he said, with regards to partnerships, don't be thirsty. And essentially what he means by that is, don't just jump right out of the gate and say, I want a partner. I need this, like, and make it seem like this is the, you know, your only option and the only thing that you need from someone to make all of your dreams come true.
Kind of like the girlfriend or the boyfriend coming off as too needy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're pushing people away if you're doing that. So yeah. It was kind of flipping the script on that. And there's a great book called, I believe it's The Go-Giver. Mason Miranda in our group is someone who, you know, recommends reading that quite a bit. And I read it, and the concept of it, like, doesn't seem like it makes sense at first, but it really does. It's leading with value. How do you provide the most amount of value to the most amount of people? And you could be strategic about it, such as providing value to people who are in the small business asset class within our mastermind, providing value to people in the hospitality asset class. But they see you as someone who's willing to give and to help and to provide value. And then in return, people are likely going to think of you as someone involved in this space who's willing to help, who could be someone that could be a great partner. And so there's a little bit of trust, and it doesn't always work out perfectly, but not only do you help others feel better about yourself, but you're building credibility and trust so that you're attracting partners, or at least you're aware of more opportunities. And so how this translated for me specifically was that Ashley at the time was looking for businesses already, and she was looking to borrow someone's personal financial statement in order to kind of pass the sniff test, so to speak, from one of the brokers. Like, you need to have X amount of liquid capital or net worth to be able to be even considered for this business, because they want to make sure you're not a tire kicker, essentially, and you're worth their time. And so she asked if anyone, you know, had a, you know, net worth above a certain level and would be willing to share the personal financial statement. And I said, like, this is a great opportunity to help someone. I don't know what will come with it, but you're welcome to use mine. And that's how it started. But then eventually I got laid off a couple weeks later and realized that business was the route I wanted to go. And then Ashley did a great job of sharing with what her skill set and what she was looking for in a partner and the time commitment, et cetera. And like, it matched up perfectly to what my skill set was, and also the areas I wasn't great at, she was good at. And so reached out to her, said, hey, you know, this seems like it might be a decent fit. Do you want to chat more and see if we can help. And initially, it was more so just helping with broker calls and being the person that talked to brokers for her. She didn't have a ton of time for that, nor did she really enjoy it. And that was no problem for me. And then from there, we worked together for, 2 to 3 weeks, and you realize that this seemed like it was going well. We had very shared goals, and so decided to make it official from there. But I had also chatted with a number of folks and pursued other areas, and there was, maybe 10 other times when I was happy to, share something with others or make time for others and help others that nothing came of it. But this, panned out in a really great way. And it wouldn't have happened had I approached it the other way, which I think is human nature to be like, this is what I need. Who can help me? It was more, I see that you are in need of help here. I can help you there and not expect anything in return.
So talk through a little bit about kind of that acquisition process, or whatever you want to be able to share about the business. And to clarify, you don't own it yet, and so here we are having a conversation. There's it's not done till it's done, but kind of talk through that process of, okay, now we've got a partner, we've kind of had that shared vision, here's what we're looking to do, but kind of talk through that. And then two, you got a chance to be boots on the ground for 5 days here recently and go check things out. So excited to hear how that goes.
Yeah, the acquisition process was trying to say the least, because we're going after many different types of businesses. You have to have quite a large funnel, or at least we felt we needed to in order to be able to find the business we want in the time frame we wanted. And so we were talking to various business brokers. This was actually a business that Ashley had submitted an LOI on a year ago. It went under contract and it fell out of contract. And was back on the market essentially right when we joined up, and it was perfectly in line with what I was looking to do. It hit our numbers that we were looking to hit. It was in her more or less backyard, and so it lined up really well, and we went for it. And then it was interesting with what the sellers wanted. In order to get the LOI signed, they wanted to see that we had funding to match exactly what they were looking to hit. But it wasn't, hey, we're pre-approved for up to 5 million for a business, which we had, no problem. It was they wanted a lender to put in writing that they were willing, they reviewed the business, they were willing to lend on that business at terms that worked with us and them. And there were some really interesting parts of this where there essentially was no real estate involved. So very few lenders wanted to be involved in something that was so much, I believe they call it blue sky. Many like having it backed by, assets as well. And so it took a lot of lender conversations to get to that point, like 15 to 20, to be honest. And so we got exactly what the seller wanted to see. And also we were negotiating back and forth in various different areas. For example, 17% of this deal is seller financed. There was a lot of back and forth on what that looked like. What was the down payment? Did it work with us? Did it hit our numbers? Did it work for the lender? Did it work for the sellers? And so we had to thread this needle, and it took about 15 or so different iterations of the LOI before we finally found a way that it worked. And they were probably 4 or 5 times throughout that process that we felt like it had completely fallen apart. And so I had to restart the acquisition engine as well. So it was definitely mentally trying, I'd say, but luckily, we found a way to make it work, and then we've developed a great relationship with the sellers as well, and we've been playing nice ever since. Due diligence was a lot of fun, but luckily no red flags there. And so yeah, purchase agreement has been signed. We raised capital from a few investors, which was a initially what I thought was going to be a daunting process, but was actually really fun. We had a lot of great feedback and people jumped on it right away. And so we're really excited to have a couple strategic investors as we were able to kind of pick and choose more or less who we brought on and what they could provide to us and in terms of the mentorship and skills they had, and not just take capital from anyone. So it was kind of a fun process, to be honest.
Just like Shark Tank, right?
Yeah, more or less.
So, real quick with the time we have left, would love to hear just a little bit kind of touching on the project that you have in North Carolina, or even just the experiential piece that you're so excited about, being able to provide great experiences for people. Obviously, it, you know, involves housing and hospitality. So talk about that piece just a little bit.
Yeah, I think going back to why I'm interested in this, I think if you hear from a lot of folks that are later on in life, they won't care about the things they had. It's the experiences they had and the people they surrounded themselves with. And they wish they really valued that more and focused on that more. And so you hear that enough times, it's like, well, that's probably something I should be thinking about. And I realized through all of my travels in various countries and whatnot, that those are what I really value, is having these incredible experiences, adding more core memories and doing it with people that I'm excited to be around. And then of course, bringing that and providing that to others is really fun. And so through the experiential business, what the Alaska one is, it's in a tourism business, that's providing that to others. And then the hospitality side, well, if you're staying in this incredible spot in a beautiful location, and you had, you know, one of the best vacations of your life, like that's a core memory that you created. And so this project in North Carolina is that in every possible way. It's in a beautiful little island community called Surf City, just west, or east, excuse me, of Wilmington, North Carolina. I actually lived there for 4 months, believe it or not, after Florida, post-COVID, and had some travels there. And it's like paradise on earth. If you've ever seen the show Outer Banks, it's just south of there by an hour or two, but along the coast, maybe a little less danger than that show, but every much the level of beauty that takes place. And we found a really cool spot that I lived like half a mile from, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just, you know, pure coincidence that this came back around. And then the folks on who had been involved with this, Jonas Harper, Josh Greenberg, Zach Metcalf, their buddy Trav, and also we have Steve Carroll in the group as well. It's probably one of the greatest groups of people I could ask to be surrounded with, not only in their talent, but willing to give to others and just like fun people, you know. So it's in a beautiful place. We have a great strategy on how to provide an incredible experience to others. It's 2 blocks from the beach. And then I'm doing this with people that I love being around. Like, it's checking every single box. So for me, it's more so a great experience, and it's fun. And to be able to provide, you know, a level of that experience to anyone who chooses to be involved in the project is just, you know, cherry on top.
It's cool to see all the stuff that's happened. I think we definitely need to set up like an update show, you know, a year from now, whatever that looks like, where you can share, because so many early seeds have been planted here in what you've done over the last 6 months. So it's going to be exciting to see what happens with that. But thank you, Kyle, so much for coming on and sharing your story. And for people listening, I think there's a lot of people that can resonate with this story. Not that everybody has gone through the same story you have, but I think with pieces of it, of resonating, like trying to figure out like, what am I going to do? My W-2 is throwing me a wrinkle in some way, shape, or form, wanting to build the life that you've always wanted to do and all that kind of stuff. And so you're just a great example of somebody who's been through the fire here and come out with some really cool, exciting things. And so it's going to be fun to see what happens. For people that want to reach out to you, learn more about what you're doing, how can they do so?
Yeah. Thank you, by the way. It's taken quite a few learnings and misses to get to this point. So hopefully in a couple of months can share some more details looking back. But if people wanted to reach out, I'm an open book. I love helping people navigate these types of challenges in their life. I've been trying to navigate it for over a decade, to be honest, and I feel like I'm getting close to cracking the code. But people can reach out. Instagram's honestly the easiest one. It's kyle.lutz, and Lutz is L-U-E-T-S, just an abbreviation for my last name. And you know, happy to chat about any of the projects I'm working on, or more so if people are saying, hey, I want to try to figure out a different way to provide for my family and live life, something that I'm a bit more excited about. I'm always happy to chat through how to navigate that.
Well, thank you, Kyle, for coming on and sharing. Excited to see what happens here in the future. So best of luck as you continue your journey, and excited to see when these things close.
there's going to be less buyers in the market at that price range that you're looking at or that the syndication is looking at. So there's less competition and better deals available as well, even on the purchase price. So it gives a lot of advantages of pooling money and not having to do the due diligence, the daily management, and all of the hands-on stuff that you would get with a smaller property.
Welcome to the Real Freedom Show, where we inspire you to pursue your passion to gain time and financial freedom through opportunities in real estate. I'm your host, Mike Swenson. Let's get some real freedom together. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Real Freedom, building time and financial freedom through opportunities in real estate. I'm your host, Mike Swenson. People that want to get started in real estate often think of all the barriers and all the difficulties of getting involved. And today, I'm here with my business partner, Mike Gengler, and we're going to talk about how to make this as easy as possible for people. And so for those of you that haven't heard, real estate syndication really is a way where you can get involved. You don't have to spend a lot of time on the deal. You can invest your money into people that have, you know, gone before you and hopefully worked through some of the challenges that you're still going to learn, and you get to experience the upside of that. And so we've been working on this for quite some time now. We've done a few deals with investors for minimal amounts of money down. And so it really is a great way for you to get involved. If you want to learn more about this, go to our website, realfreedom.com. That's realfreedom.com/invest. And we're going to talk about all the stuff that we're covering on the episode today. So realfreedom.com/invest. Learn how you can get started for a little money down, not having to do your own work into the deal, and experience the upside of some of these larger apartment complexes that you probably aren't going to be able to do on your own. So that being said, let's jump into it, talk about a little bit more. Mike, we're excited to have you on the episode.
Absolutely. Excited to get more people involved in real estate. Definitely believe in it as an avenue for financial freedom and want to get as many people involved as possible so that they can experience that as well.
So talk a little bit about when we started working with investors, we were doing duplexes, fourplexes, even helping people to buy some small apartment buildings. And then we came across an idea called the real estate syndication. So what are some of the benefits that you see about doing something like a real estate syndication? I should even back up half a step and say, why real estate versus other assets? Maybe we start there first.
Yeah. Big thing for me is just the multitude of ways that real estate can pay dividends for you, to take a stock term. But in stock markets, you're getting the company growth, you might be getting a dividend, versus in real estate, you've got tax advantages, you've got your mortgage getting paid off, you've got the cash flow from rent, you've got, RUBS programs to take advantage of utilities, you've got the appreciation of the property, you've got the value add of adding value to your property versus on a company that you don't own. You don't really have any control over adding that value to that company. So for me, real estate, it's the multitude of ways that you can have control over the property and that you can build. How do I say that? And it's the multitudes of ways that you can have control over the property, and that different ways that things get paid off for you from your tenants.
And for people listening to this, certainly you could diversify. Real estate's
Absolutely.
Not for anybody. There's risks involved. And so it kind of depends on your tolerance for risk, the type of investment. But for people that do like to invest in real estate, there's certainly a lot of great things there. So now if we say, hey, real estate's a way that I know I want to build some wealth. One of the ways that syndications can be beneficial versus trying to do something yourself is there's an economies of scale that you can take advantage of. We worked with investors that would put down $7,500 on a property. It might be a 2-unit, a 3-unit. And the challenges that we saw were when you've got a tenant that's has a vacancy, or maybe they're in there and they're not paying rent, you're losing 33%, 50%, single family home, 100% of your income that month because you don't have somebody paying rent. When we do something like a syndication, and we'll talk a little bit more about what that looks like, you might be able to buy a 20-unit property and you might have one or two tenants that are vacant or not paying rent. Well, then you've got 18 other people that are. And so you've got an economies of scale there that you can take advantage of versus trying to do it on your own. And then we'll talk about some of the other benefits of wealth. And two, when you're working with a property that size, you're going to leverage a property manager, right? Because you might be able to go to the property and paint some touch-ups or whatever on one of two units. However, when there's 20 units, you're not going to be able to do that. And so you really are leveraging your time with other people, other professionals that can do things that maybe you can't kind of hack yourself if you've got your own property.
Yeah, syndication. Yeah, it allows you to get in for a much lower price. You know, you're not bringing that full 20% down payment. And yeah, it allows you to buy something a lot bigger, you know, as, you know, 10, 20, 30 people get together to buy something, you know, there's going to be less buyers in the market at that price range that you're looking at, or that the syndication is looking at. So there's less competition and better deals available as well, even on the purchase price. So it gives a lot of advantages of pooling money and not having to do the due diligence, the daily management, and all of the hands-on stuff that you would get with a smaller property.
And real quick, just to kind of explain how that works, there's kind of two sides here. The general partner side, as it's called, where they take care of all the details. For you to be able to invest in a deal, you're what's called kind of a limited partner, where you're putting up your money and then you're working with somebody who is going to do the day-to-day stuff. So for some people, it's that control piece. You know, you're not in control as much as if you owned your own property. Some might see that actually as a huge advantage, right? Like, I don't have to worry about any of that stuff. I'm not going to get any calls. I don't have to make those decisions. Mm-hmm. So then it really comes down to placing your hard-earned money with people that you trust. So that's the key piece here in the deal, is you're not going to just give your money to anybody. You want to make sure that it's somebody that can be a good steward of that money. And so, yeah, you are hands-off on the deal as an investor. The way that it's set up is you can't make decisions because of how it's structured. And then you're really leveraging the time and the expertise of people that have gone before and done it, and people that are in real estate full-time like us, that have analyzed thousands of deals, worked with lots of investors, seen how these deals compare to other deals, what markets to target, and you're really leveraging the time and the expertise of the people in it so that you don't have to do that. And so that's where that great relationship comes in. That's really important. So Mike, do you want to maybe talk about kind of that relationship of finding that operator or the general partner in the deal to place your money if you want to invest it?
Yeah, I mean, you want to find somebody who's done this before, who's got a good track record of success in here. And you're looking for somebody who, yeah, does this as a full-time job. That's what we do, is we're looking at deals every day. This isn't something that, you know, you want to put your hard-earned money into somebody who does this as a side gig, you know. This is where the expertise of having looked at hundreds of deals a year, thousands of deals overall, you know, comes into play, of knowing and recognizing what to pursue further and what not to, and knowing when to back out of a deal and knowing when to push forward, and recognizing an opportunity to find some more of those home runs and not missing on those. So finding an operator who's done this before, who's got a track record of success, is super important. And you want somebody who's open with you, who's communicating what you're getting in each deal, what the time period is, what the risks are, what the benefits are. That communication is super important, and knowing what, you know, how your money is going to perform and when you can expect things to happen. Syndications can be put together in a variety of ways. There's buy and hold, where you're getting cash flow and the property value isn't going to go up that much, but you're going to be getting monthly or quarterly payouts. There's appreciation plays, where you're putting your money in and you're waiting for the property value to go up over time, so you might not be receiving a contribution on those. And then there's value adds. There might be a much larger raise on those, so that you can put more of that money into the property, and then see a larger value increase down the road. And so there's preferred returns. There's a lot of different things that you can get for your money in a syndication, and you want to work with somebody who's upfront with you about how that's going to work. So with the syndications that we've done, we've done all of them. So we've got one where it's just cash flow. You know, every quarter we send out the check. We've got one where it's an appreciation play. We've raised the rents. We're looking at a refinance, but the investors on that one haven't gotten anything yet because we've told them it was an appreciation play. And then we've got a big value add project going on where again, no money for the first year is coming back to the investors, but then there's going to be a much larger payday at the refinance period. So knowing what you're getting into and working with somebody who's got experience is super important.
And then too, like people can invest in different types of asset classes, right? So there might be a syndication where it's an apartment. That's kind of what we've worked on. There could be self-storage, mobile home parks, commercial investments. So there's all different types of syndications out there. So you're kind of looking for what's an asset class that I'm comfortable and excited about investing in. And then where's the location of that? Do I want it to be close to where I live because I understand the market a little bit more? Do I truly just trust that relationship of the person that I'm working with? It's in a state that I don't live in, you know? And so there's lots of things, urban area, suburban area, mid-size, smaller cities out in the middle of nowhere. There's so many different places you can also invest. So there's just lots of opportunities. And so you're just looking for a fit. And the one thing that I will say is for a lot of these holds, you're looking at 5 years plus. And so this is a relationship that you're making with somebody. This isn't just, hey, I'm putting in my money in a year from now. Now, it's possible some of those are shorter term investments, but this is a little bit longer of a hold period because it's not flipping a single family house. You're maybe flipping an apartment building. Well, it takes time to flip an apartment building over the span of a couple of years. And so this is more, you know, looking for people that you like to work with. It's a longer term relationship. Who can you trust? Who can you see 5 years from now, me still being excited to have this person, you know, kind of stewarding my money? So it's not just a quick decision where like, hey, if I put my money in a stock and it doesn't perform well, I can sell in 3 months. I can sell in 6 months. I can sell tomorrow. Here, your money is held for a little bit longer.
Have you ever heard the phrase, you're the average of the top five people that you hang around? Well, real estate agents, I'm excited to increase your five with you. We're launching the Real Freedom Investor Agent Tribe to help you get educated and connect with others to build your real estate investing journey and also to help you along the way as you're working with real estate investors. So come check it out on our website, realfreedom.com. Go to the store. We have a membership, we have a mastermind group, and private coaching to help you stay accountable to your real estate investing goals and to make sure that you connect with like-minded people to accelerate your progress and to cheer you on along the way. Check it out, realfreedom.com. Click on the store.
The other thing I should mention is there's kind of two types of syndications. One is, so they have this guideline that the Securities and Exchange Commission talks about, an accredited investor. So an accredited investor is determined to be somebody that single-handedly has an income of $200,000 in a year, or if you're filing jointly with a spouse or significant other, $300,000, and then also $1 million of net worth. So if you have that, you can invest in certain types of deals. If you don't have that, then you can invest in other types of deals. And so the person that you're working with, that operator, you need to find out, do I have to be an accredited investor or not? That makes a big deal. Operators also put forth a minimum investment amount. And so the size of what you have available, you need to find out is that big enough for me to be able to invest with the person that I want to invest with or not? And so that's where, you know, lots of different variables for you to look at. So that's why we want to help you find a good fit. So if I've kind of looked at people, I've talked with people, interviewed people, find somebody that's kind of a fit. After that, you know, they identify a property that might be something I'm interested in investing in. What happens after that, Mike?
Yeah, so your operator is going to do due diligence on a lot of properties. And so when they bring you a property, if they're doing their job correctly, this isn't just the first property that they found. This is the one that went through the due diligence process that they found to be a good opportunity that's going to give you the returns that you're looking for. And so you still want to look through what they did, make sure that they've gone over the financial documents, that there's been an inspection on the property, that there's planned to be one. That can often happen after you're given this information. But yeah, you're going to look through and see if that's the type of deal that works for you. If you're looking for instant cash flow and it's an appreciation play, that'll be in there of how you're going to get paid out. So make sure you read through that and you're getting the information that you need. You're also going to receive a private placement memorandum. This is going to be the legal document that describes your rights within syndication, you want to make sure that you understand that. So they're going to be long, they're going to be very legalese. So you can send that to your own attorney to make sure that you're being protected. But make sure you understand what you're getting into and what your rights are as a limited partner and what the responsibilities are of the general partner. There are going to be, if the PPM is written correctly and you're working with a operator who's on the up and up, there's going to be a lot of stuff in there about their responsibilities, their contributions, and what your rights and privileges are as a limited partner as well, and how you're going to get paid out. So making sure you read through all that, you're understanding that, they're probably going to have some sort of meeting, whether it's in person or online, going over and explaining all this. That's part of that good communication that you're looking for in an operator, of going through how the deal is going to work for you. But then again, just doing your due diligence and verifying that what they're saying is matching up with what's in the legal document as well.
Yeah, for sure. And the idea here is this operator is putting together a plan of here's what we see happening with this building over the 5 years we're going to hold it, or 10 years that we're going to hold it, or forever for some people. So whatever that looks like, we're putting together a plan. So just kind of like a business plan, right? If I were to start a new business and say, here's how I think this business is going to perform year one, year two, year three, year four, year five, an operator's putting together that same plan. So they might say, hey, year one, is just kind of a level year. However, starting year two, when tenants, start to renew their leases, we're going to increase the rents. Might be a renovation plan in there. And so you're looking at, how does the time when I start my investment in this real estate deal versus the time that we're potentially looking to exit or do some sort of refinance, what does that look like? And then really that's the operator's job, is to try to hold to that plan as best as possible. Now, we know life happens. We know that, as much as we can put a plan in place, things don't happen according to plan. But you want to look at that plan and see, is that something that I'm comfortable with? So just like Mike laid out, that's the private placement memorandum. It lays out that entire plan. After that, if you say, hey, I like the operator, I like the plan on this property, kind of comes down to two things. There's a subscription agreement document which says then, okay, here's what's going to happen. Am I in? And if so, here's my information. And so I decide to sign and become a part of that. And then I wire the funds. So there's really kind of two things that happen. After all the information looks good, everything they've told me I'm on board with, sign the doc, wire the funds. And then after that, you're in the deal. Then, at some point, either the closing comes or the closing's already happened, depending on the size of the deal and where you're at. And then you're in the deal. And so now we're just in the holding period. You're letting that operator operate and put together their execute on the plan that they said they were going to put together and hopefully stay on track. And so then they will keep you updated on kind of where things are at and let you know. And so it's passive to you at that point. You can certainly contact the operator, hey, how are things going? Or maybe they communicate through monthly or quarterly updates, but then it's kind of in that hold period. And so, like we said, for a lot of people, it's probably a couple years at least, maybe 5, maybe 10, maybe more, depending on the asset and the strategy. But once they've kind of executed on that plan, what happens after that, Mike?
Yeah, they're going to go through their hold period and execute their plan. It's generally going to be some sort of renovation of the units, adding in better management. We found a lot of properties that are just being very poorly managed, and so that's a very optimal value add of just getting solid management in there. But yeah, they're going to go through that. Let's say you've got a 3-year plan on how you're going to handle the first 3 years. Year one, you're not going to get any cash flow. Year two, you're starting to see a little bit of that cash flow, so you're getting those quarterly checks. And then year three, you've got to refinance. So you'll see in a lot of these PPMs that there's going to be either a refinance or a sale option. And so understanding what both of those mean, if you're getting in with a trusted operator, they're going to look at the market at that time and figure out what the best option is for your money and for their money. As a trusted operator, they're likely putting money into the deal themselves as well. So they want to make the best decision that will make them the most money. And if they've set this deal up correctly, the decision that makes them the most money will also make you the most money as well. So the refinance, what that means is you're going to go in just like a home refinance. You're going to refinance the apartment building. probably about a 75% loan to value ratio on that. So if they've increased the value enough by the time they do the refinance, they might be sending you back anywhere from like 50 to 100% of your money that you put into the deal, but it doesn't affect the amount that you own on the property. So you could be getting all of your money back at that point, and then you'd still have the same ownership stake in the property. So you would then be still cash flowing on the property. The property value would still be appreciating. All of those benefits are still there, but you've already been returned that money that you invested into the property. So you can then go invest in another option. If they go with the sale option at the time, again, ideally the property value has gone up. You'd be getting much more than the money that you've put into the property, plus the cash flow that you've already received. There's a lot of options at that point. Ideally, you're putting that money into another investment to avoid capital gains taxes. We can do something called a 1031 exchange. So there's a lot more details that go into, how we roll the snowball down the hill at this point and really get the cash flow going for you that we'll talk about in a future episode. But yeah, the refinance or the sale are the two options at that point, or just holding and doing nothing because that's what the market dictates.
And one more thing on the sale, this will be future, as Mike alluded to. A 1031 exchange is a way that you can take the money that you've made on a real estate deal, pour it into another deal, and not have to have a taxable event. And so, if you're looking for this as your nest egg for retirement, you can do that and not pay the capital gains taxes on the time of a sale, which, if you were buying your own duplex and you sold it at some point for a profit, you can do the same along with that. But that's a way where hopefully you avoid paying taxes too. And so, that's kind of the long-term future growth we talk about with real estate is you've got this nest egg that builds and grows and grows, and trying to find ways where Uncle Sam can hold off collecting in the future. So there's strategies there where you can do that. So that's all the stuff that a good operator will talk through with you. Ideally, at the time of that sale, maybe they've got something else lined up that you can put that money directly right into. When we're deciding to sell a property, we're looking at, can your money grow faster in the existing property, or can we find another property where we can kind of add that value and boost and help you grow your money faster? So that's what a good operator does. So all this stuff can be passive to you. You don't have to, like I said, find the tenants, repair the property, answer the no toilet working call in the middle of the night, and still have your money invested in real estate with full-time professionals. And so there's a lot to that, but hopefully this episode shared a little bit about how that syndication process works. If you guys have questions, you can reach out to us. Our information's on the website, realfreedom.com/invest. So that's realfreedom.com/invest. We'll lay out that plan, have a call to action for you to, if this is something you're interested in. We'd love to help out, answer questions. Mike loves talking to investors. We've answered a lot of questions in our day of how does this work? Tell me more about it. And so we're certainly happy to do that. And so that's the spot to do that. If you want to reach out and potentially invest in our deals, we're looking for people that our goal is to make this barrier as low as possible for people to get their money into real estate if they want to invest in real estate. And this is a plan of a strategy to be able to do that for you. So put your money into real estate. If it's something that resonates with you and you want to invest with us, we'd love to be able to partner with you. So reach out and let us know. Mike, anything else that you want to add?
I'm excited to work with everybody, excited to help everybody out. Like Mike said, I love talking to people about investing and how it can help you in the future. So looking forward to hearing from everybody.
Thank you guys. Hope this was educational. Reach out to us if you have questions.